Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And this is our first episode of 2025.
Woo!
I cannot believe we're back and it's the new year.
Do you feel any different?
No. No, I really don't. I can't say anything changed.
Same. I feel like I woke up on January 1st and I was like, I feel exactly the same as I did yesterday.
Did you go out on New Year's Eve?
No, I did not. See, I'm too proud of me. Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Nothing crazy. I went to my best friend's house.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was the best New Year's Eve ever. Like, it was just us on a rooftop and her husband and also another one of my best friends. And we just laughed. Like, we just laughed. And then it became midnight. And I was like, see ya. I'm calling my Uber.
Oh, you actually left. Remember when you mentioned that you wanted to leave because the Ubers are going to be crazy? Or
yeah. No, that's what exactly. Like, I called it right before midnight. So at 12:05, my Uber showed up and I wasn't hit by the surge charges.
I'm actually so dead. So here's the thing. For me, I did not want to do a crazy go out type of situation.
Yeah, no one ever does. Too tiring.
Honestly, and the fact that we did that the last few years too. And I was like, where did we get the energy for this? Because I'm exhausted.
Now I'm like, I can barely go out for 2 hours.
I know. I think we've realized, what was it, the ambivertness of our lives.
Exactly.
We are ambiverts, in between extroverted and introverted. But I just had one of my good friends stay with me, which I never do sleepovers. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to do a sleepover.
I love that. I love a good adult sleepover. Like, too. With your friends.
Mm-hmm. It was really good. Like you said, though, like, it was so much talking and like figuring out what we want to do in the new year. Like, what happened this year that we learned from?
Oh, you did a whole breakdown.
It was fun. It was really fun.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was cute.
Well, we're going to do a breakdown on this podcast.
Let's do it.
Because I know you and I have some ins and outs we got to talk about. Ins and outs of 2025.
I'm super excited about this.
You know, it's going to be what keeps us accountable for this year.
I agree. And you know what? The thing that really got me is, remember how last year, just a few episodes ago, you and I were talking and we were like, what did we do this year? Like, I don't remember anything that we did in 2024. And
we said that literally our last episode of 2024, which was 2 weeks ago.
Just kind of crazy. But 2025 needs to be memorable. We need to make it memorable.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how memorable it is. We could think about it in our last episode of 2025.
I love this trend that's going around where people send themselves letters or do make a video on the first day of the year and they ask themselves questions. And I think it's so cute.
Like, they talk to their future self.
Yeah. They're like, hey, like, Deep T, like, hey, Natalie, did you guys, I don't know, start doing live tours? Did that happen? And like, you answer it as you watch it back.
Okay, wait, can I tell you something? I do that.
Yay!
I have. Cute. I don't know if this makes me a total freak. I'm actually really embarrassed to admit this. But in my phone,
yeah,
there is a folder
mm-hmm.
labeled Life Diaries.
Okay.
In these videos, I'm sharing like, hey, this is how I'm feeling in this moment. This happened. Is your life going to change? Like, how is it like in the future? I have one that I made when I was 25 for my 30-year-old self.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, are you going to be like mature and finally get your shit together? Like, all this stuff. Like, are you still going to be friends with so-and-so? Are you going to be over that breakup? And it's so crazy watching them back.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's me, but not really me. First, I didn't really see the difference when I started doing this when I was 24.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking back as a 32-year-old turning 33 and looking at that first video when I was 24, like, the difference is so stark in terms of like the way I look, the way I talk, just like the things that I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I really encourage everyone to do it.
I know. Sometimes I'll even look back at certain videos and things of myself too. And I'm like, wow, to think that I was such a different version of myself. Like, if I just met my past self, I would be like, oh my gosh, like, I don't actually know who you are.
I'd be like, you're a dumbass. Stop acting like you know about everything.
I love how I was going the wholesome route. And you're like, you dumbass.
I was like, you're a freak. Dead. I would tell my old self, like, stop going back to that guy. Just get the fuck over it. Move the fuck along.
Dude, honestly, you shouldn't even be mad about things like that because they teach you so much in life. I truly think that. But okay, I have never done what you do with like asking your future self questions about, you know, what happened in the year, which I think I want to start doing that. But what I did differently this year, and you know, I love my manifestation shit.
I know you do.
I literally sat down. I wrote basically 4 to 5 pages worth of stuff. And I was like, okay, I was writing it as if it had already happened at the end of 2025. So I wrote it like, oh my gosh, what a crazy, amazing year 2025 has been. And I wrote every single thing that I want to happen.
And like share some of the things.
I can't.
Oh, you're not allowed to?
No, not that. You know, have you heard of like outside energy can just mess up things? I don't need anybody knowing what I'm about to do. But on the
like
last
our YouTube
day,
comments.
Yes.
Dude. If anything's going to mess up my energy, it's our YouTube comments. There's always one person that I'm like, bitch.
On our last episode of 2025, let's mm-hmm. read some of it and see if it happened. And then we'll answer some of your questions as
okay,
well.
I know you're going to be like, in 2025, I'm so excited that I traveled and did this. And meanwhile, you're going to end the year like pregnant with twins.
Who knows?
Back with Shake.
What if you lost me there immediately? I was about to be like, what if I did say that? And then you said Shake. Listen, he's happy in his own life. We don't want to, you know, we don't want the universe disrupting that.
We don't want to manifest that into the universe.
Let him live.
I love that stuff. I really do love that stuff because I think it's really exciting looking back mm-hmm. on how your former self thought about your future self, which is like your present self.
Yeah. Yes.
So I do love that. Also, this is just a side note, when we're talking about like, you know, videos or like letters to your future self, I actually have a video and it's a day before our season of Love is Blind came out.
Oh.
And I was talking about like, what's going to happen? Is my life going to change? How am I going to handle this? What is my edit going to be like? Because I thought I was going to be the villain of our season. So I'm like talking about like, oh my gosh, my life is going to be ruined. I'm going to get fired from work.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But it was like super interesting, like me talking about all these like fears. And that watching that video always reminds me like, why do I worry about things that like haven't happened yet? Just like let it happen type of thing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I think that's the thing. You can't waste so much energy on the what ifs. Another in for this year for me, and it's going to be so dumb, but I really need to make this happen. Whenever I tell a friend, hey, we should try a new restaurant, or hey, let's hang out sometime, and I never follow through until someone.
So you're a flake.
I'm not even a flake, but you know, like you just have those words in passing, but you just never follow through. That is me.
When you see a friend that you haven't seen in a long time at a grocery store and you're like, we should hang out.
Yes.
And then you'll even go as far as exchanging numbers and that's it.
That,
and you'll never see them again, maybe exactly, like 5 years later.
Exactly. And I feel like I need to make an effort with hanging out with people and actually initiating plans this year, because I'm always that friend who's like, oh, cool, you guys are doing this? Yeah, cool. Like, yeah, I'll come along. But I never make the plan or host anymore.
I am like that too.
Yeah, so I can't be flaky and I need to follow through. That is one of my ins this year.
I know I said in the last episode that I don't believe like in setting goals, like New Year resolutions, because it puts too much pressure on like the way I live. But I definitely have a list of like ins and outs of 2025. And I feel like one of my big ins is like I am no longer going to be following trends.
Oh, I love this.
Like,
yes.
Fashion trends, any sort of like trend that changes the way I live, not like making my life better in any way, like I'm not going to follow it.
Thank you. You know what? This plays along with my next out, and that would be high screen time and doom scrolling.
How does that relate to not following trends?
Because the more I doom scroll and I'm on my phone, which is screen time,
yeah.
I literally am watching other people's lives and I'm not living mine. That's a really bad thing. And also I'm like always comparing myself, right? I'm like, oh, that's a sick outfit. Like, why am I not in Aspen right now wearing cute little like a puffy jacket?
Yeah. And like skiing.
Skiing, you know, it just makes you think about what you're lacking versus sitting in your space, being present and thinking about everything that you have to be grateful for.
Okay.
So
yeah,
no more doom scrolling.
I do relate to that. Yeah. I have saved certain blackhead removal pimple popping videos and I go back to them when I need a dopamine hit.
That is absolutely disgusting. Why does that give you joy?
Actually, one of my outs is oversharing.
That's a good one.
Like, maybe I shouldn't have shared that.
No, you can share anything with me.
And our pod besties.
Yeah.
But I feel like not only do I share my love for those types of things on this podcast, but also on like first dates. I
feel Natalie, I feel like no. I shouldn't
like share it. You don't like that's oversharing, right?
On the
I
first
used to
date?
Also share it in the workplace.
Okay, workplace is fine. You're not trying to date any of them.
No, it's like someone might be like, ew, you know, like you just ruined. Like, it's lunchtime. Why'd you bring that up?
No, Natalie, they are definitely thinking that. Someone's like, probably like, no, no, no.
There's one person that gets like the ick from hearing those things a lot.
Me.
I feel like you're used to it, though.
Yeah,
that's true. I've slowly gotten you adjusted.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always that colleague. And I'm always thinking, like, are they going to report me to HR?
You know? what grounds? She's like, making me feel uncomfortable in work environments.
I bring my IBS up a lot at work. Not like in like a gross way, but more so that I have it because I want to know like when I get up really quickly from a meeting and I run to the bathroom, like I want to let them know.
This is why.
There's a reason behind it. You know, it's not because I have food poisoning all the time. Yeah. But I always felt like, well, I get reported.
I think you could sue. If
that's
they
true.
Ever.
I think it's a disability or it counts as like a disability.
Oh, but okay, going back to talking about this on your first dates, please don't do that.
I just why? Feel like, because I think it's like quirky and fun.
Okay, you know what, be you. And I who am I to change you?
And I heard men love quirky girls.
Okay, they're like eating their
so I bring it
risotto
up.
And I you're like, well, I'm yes.
I bring it up to be different. I'm like, I'm not like the other girls. I love watching these videos on social
media. I'm a
media.
Cool IBS girl.
It's like, I love watching dermatologists remove blackheads from people's noses. I'm just quirky.
There's a niche amount of people for that. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. That was an overshare for sure.
No, that's okay.
My intrusive thoughts actually came out.
They all, and the fact that they come out on first dates is a little... But that's okay. Yeah. You know what? This actually, I love that I can connect all my ins and outs to things that you say because the next one, my in, is having the courage to be disliked.
You're already disliked, girl. I was like, have you seen all the opinions after our season of Love is Blind? Okay. There's always that one person there, they're always like, she chose herself. Well, she should have chose Shake because she missed out on a good one. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Listen, that's the thing. I try to stay away from a lot of the comments section because it just, my mental health is, you know.
Yeah.
It's in a good place and I don't want it to be in a bad place.
Here's the thing about mean comments. It's either going to keep you humble or like really impact your mental health.
Yeah. And it's done both for us.
Yeah. Do I feel as unimportant as ever after our season of Love is Blind? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm like, wow, I really, really, really am not the individual I thought I was.
No, that's the thing, though. Like, who cares what other people think? And obviously, I feel like the...
I care.
I do, too. But that's the point of ins, is we are going to have the courage to be disliked and just be ourselves and state however we feel. And I feel like the community that we've built will vibe with that. And the people that don't, just don't.
I love that, actually. Can I add to that? Mm-hmm. It's I want to be disliked for believing in the right things and just being myself. Like, I don't want to be disliked because I do bad things or, you know, like, because I'm a bad person.
Yeah, you're not. You are 100% not.
Depends on who you ask these days.
Who are we asking?
I mean, I don't know. You know what I realized about being disliked, though? There is someone that thinks we are bad people who thinks I'm a bad person mm-hmm. and I'm a villain in their story. And I could already name you two people.
I was going to say, I was like, I think I'm a hero in most people's stories.
I feel like I'm more of like a background character, like a, like, you know, an extra.
Actually, yes. Along those
like
lines.
Like in a movie.
Yes.
But I definitely know I'm a villain in at least two people's stories.
Which, that's the thing. It's like we're letting go of seeking validation or approval from others.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's okay if you're the villain in that person's story because that's just how it's supposed to be.
I think that if you really try to be a good person and you're just living your life, like, yeah, you should not care about being like disliked mm-hmm. by superficial reasons, you know, maybe like quirks you have or the way you look or whatever. I actually don't care about that stuff because I know there are people who do dislike us based on like how we look, you know, like our sense of humors, like maybe little quirks in our personality. And to be honest, totally right. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if I'm disliked because I don't mesh with someone.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. And also letting go of the idea that, okay, yeah, maybe I have hurt somebody, but you're setting boundaries or you're no longer being a people pleaser, me. And sometimes that does hurt someone's feelings and that's okay. But like you said, as long as you're authentic about it and you're living into who you say that you are, you're going to hurt some people along the way, but you're also going to find some great people along the way. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what's an out for me mm-hmm. that relates to like everything we just said?
Please tell me.
I'm going to try to stop being such a vengeful, petty person.
That's a really big one. What do you mean?
I don't always act on my vengefulness, but I think about it a lot. And I think it makes me a petty person.
Yes, you can't harp on that shit.
Yeah. The guy that I called Homer Simpson. Okay. I feel like I did that out of like, I'm going to get you. Like I looked at him and I was like, I'm going to ruin your day like you ruined mine. And I was like, you know what? I should just let that go.
That was warranted. I feel like that one you get a pass on. Or there's other things that are more severe, but okay, like, yes. That's a good one. You can, he deserved what he was.
Like I have helped my friends like plan out petty actions and like revenge plans, you know, like when a guy does them wrong, I'm like, oh, we're gonna prank call them.
We're gonna go egg their house.
Yeah, like I was like I put the motion to get the ball rolling.
I'm dead.
So I was like, I'm gonna stop doing that. I think I'm gonna really, really try to just be like a okay, like let them wrong me.
Yes.
And I won't react.
I love the Let Them theory by Mel Robbins. That is my favorite in the entire world.
Like I have to get rid of the thought of like, oh, they like I'm, they think that they can mess with me. Like I'm coming for you. Like no more of that.
Yeah, no. We leave because we all know karma is a bitch. You don't have to do anything. The world sets itself right. The universe makes everything come around the way it's supposed to.
Why do I feel like though I'm the universe's tool to set things right, you know, through my vengefulness?
Honestly, in the years that I've known you, you have been the tool to some of my karma that needs to be served. So I appreciate you.
But then some like weird things have been happening to me. Like for example, I broke a nail. I haven't broken a nail in probably like 7 years.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is karma for something I did.
Oh, yeah.
Like the universe is like coming now for me. So anyways, this is a very, maybe it's all in my head, but I'm going to be a better person.
I love this for you because I am also the same way when things don't go according to the plan, like as in like I spill something. The other day I literally spilled wine on my entire couch thing over there. I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? If I don't feel aligned with myself, I'm like, okay, something has to change. So you're on the right track, I think.
Because I've been really off track, so I gotta get back on it.
Okay, well, speaking of another out, mine is toxic positivity.
Wow.
This year, we are no longer not validating our feelings.
And thinking highly of other people.
Oh, and thinking highly of other people. And in the name of like staying positive, like it's okay to like just understand your own emotions and not be like, it's gonna be fine. Like everything's okay. Like everything works out exactly how it's supposed to. Everything happens for a reason. Like we don't need to be those people, specifically me. I do not need to be that person. Just understand your feeling, like sit with it and be like, okay, this is how I feel and just move forward.
Yeah. I used to be like, toxic positive. I don't know if that's a word. That took me a long time to learn to just be like, hey, instead of being like positive about like everything and like trying to see the good in everyone in like this like toxic way, it's like, I don't have to think anyone is bad, but I could acknowledge like, hey, they did something like not great.
Exactly. And I think that's exactly where I have been my whole life is, oh, like I try to understand where somebody comes from or their background or, oh my gosh, they had this certain thing happen to them recently. That's why they're acting out. But yeah, that is the case. And they're not a bad person. And this is a good friend of yours or whatever it is. Yeah. But you have to separate that from their bad actions and be like, okay, well, even if that is the case, this bad action cannot be something that I vibe with anymore because it's just steering me in a new direction.
Or like justify it and you are for like, them in your head.
Yes, you're like, oh, this is just how this person is. So I'm just going to continue hanging out and just kind of forget it. No, yeah. It takes a toll on you.
Like you're always like, oh, but 99% of the time, like they're great. So it's not that bad. I was like, you could still think someone's good.
Yeah.
And if they do a bad thing, like you just acknowledge that was a bad thing.
Exactly. So no more toxic positivity in our lives. So I'm very happy about that.
Woo.
Okay. This is a really personal one, I feel like. But another out for me is taking pictures and then never doing anything else with it.
Oh, yeah. I have like a full archive of my life. Yeah. And no one has seen any of it.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. This year alone, I looked it up at the end of the year. I took 52,000 pictures.
Oh, wait, let me look at
mine. And I've only posted 5 times in the whole year.
Wait, let me see how many photos I have in my
insane
album.
And I'm sure I've moved some of them out.
I have 29,000 photos on my phone. But that's like over probably 7 years.
7 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a ton and I'm like, what have I done? But that's because I take the same picture in 5 different angles and then I never look at it again. I'm like, this is so cool.
I know. And then I never look. And I'm like, so cool for who? Like my eyes only.
Yes.
That's like me in screenshots. I screenshot everything that I find interesting and I realize I never go back. I never look at those screenshots.
Same. I will take pictures of a song that I recently found on Spotify and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so obsessed with this song. I'll take a picture of it, never listen to the song ever again in my life.
Wait, so what's your out that you're going to stop taking photos?
No, my out is stop taking photos and doing nothing with them. You either delete it or you post it or you send it to a friend. Do something with it. But you cannot have stagnant photos in your phone.
That's like really hard. I don't think you're gonna complete that out.
Yeah. What day is it?
It's not achievable.
Yeah. So far it's been hard.
Because okay, I wanna be like that. I even have photos, like multiple photos in like 20 different angles of quotes that people spray paint into the sidewalk.
Oh, I love
that. And
I
was like, what am I gonna do with this?
See.
But sometimes it comes handy where I'll say a quote and be like, Where did I like see that quote from? And I could like zip through my photo album and find it.
The best.
Like there's those moments where you're like, this did come in handy.
Yes. The best feature ever on the iPhone is like going down and looking at your screenshots only album. Yes. And I'm like, yes, I know it's in here somewhere.
Like there are some good receipts.
There's
like,
some good things.
They're not receipts at the time you take the receipts, mm-hmm. but when you need them, yes. they become receipts.
Yes. This just reminds me of how much we're literal hoarders. Because
oh yeah, we're digital hoarders.
100% digital hoarders. And I'm like, why do I need, I have 1 terabyte of space on my iPhone. Why do I need this?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like I'm paying monthly for my, no, my same, storage.
Same.
Because you know what's the worst thing ever is when you're taking pictures and it's like storage is full, delete a few things. And I'm like, no.
And I was like, do I have to delete those quotes that I took on the sidewalk?
You know, they're the first to go.
I was like, no. No, it's always like, and then I have like these weird selfies of me and I was like, why did I take this?
There was a vision at one point.
But I was like, I'm not going to delete it. Not quite yet. That's like me and emails. Like I have my emails from like 2010.
Can you just tell me how many emails you have unread right now?
I read mine actually pretty often.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Like I only have 8 unread in my personal.
You're going to die.
What do you have?
These are how many I have unread. 57,000.
What the heck?
I just get so much spam. Honestly, in fact, I think I'm just going to abandon my email address and start a new one because I can't go back. One time, Natalie, I spent 2 hours unsubscribing to things and I was like, I'm going to clean this up. Like I have to. It's just impossible.
You know, I'm subscribed to nothing.
I'm so proud of you.
I have actually achieved not receiving any subscription emails. And how I did it was I either blocked them or I straight up emailed the email address that I got the subscription email from. And I'm like, take me off your mailing list.
And they listen?
And they'll do it.
Okay, see, I love that. I hate
some of them. If it's not a no reply email address,
yeah,
they will be like, sure, we'll process it. So sorry.
Oh, okay. See, I love that because my worst pet peeve is clicking the subscribe button or they don't have one and you go there and it's
or like, it's like a trick.
Yeah, it's like a trick. It's like the hardest thing ever to find. I'm like, what is this voodoo?
Yeah, like sometimes if you click on the unsubscribe button at the bottom of a subscription email, it's like, you think like you press yes, like you want to unsubscribe, right? But some of them is like, do you want to subscribe again? Oh, and you press yes and you're like, oh my God.
It's literally the worst. But I've tried so many times to clean up my email, like my inbox. It's the hardest thing ever. I think I'm just going to abandon it.
No, you just need to put on your calendar every day. Like I have a set time for an hour where I read and respond to all my emails.
No.
And then I categorize them into the little like categories on the side of Gmail.
Yes.
And then there's one where I put like, it's so unimportant, I can delete them in the future and then I'll just clear out that entire folder.
I love that. Okay. I love the whole thing of categorizing. The thing is like, I still like get all my emails and I look at them. It's just all of the crap, like the subscription ones that I don't look at. And that's what's added up
to 57,000.
It gives me so much anxiety. You're like,
I'm going to keep this email just in case I need this 20% discount.
Never in my life have I done that. I would you know when like things pop up on your website and like, you can get a free 20% off with your email address. I've never even input it. Like, I swear somebody has something against me and they're putting my email address places as revenge. Wait. No, I really think that. Because I'm like, I've never seen this in my life.
I don't know if I should bring this up. I don't know if this is like an illegal thing, but one time I did that to an ex.
No, Natalie, this is what you meant about like the petty thing going away.
I took their email and subscribed to a bunch of things.
I really think someone did that to me. Did you
do that? I didn't do that to you.
No, not you. I think someone like you did it to me.
Well, we have a podcast email that's public and Deepti and I share that inbox. And someone subscribed these like very sexual. You know what I'm talking about,
I know
right?
What you're talking about.
Someone subscribed these like, I don't know what it is, but it's a site that sends us emails about like new sexual based podcasts or something.
Yeah.
Something. And I was reading it. I was like, did Deepti subscribe to this?
She must have accidentally clicked this.
And I was like, what is this? Because we get it like every day or like twice a day. And I was like, was Deepti?
Unsubscribe.
Like, did Deepti sign us up for this site?
I swear someone out there.
And I was like, I think you and I talked. And I was like, what is this? And you're like, I don't know. Why do we keep getting these emails? And I was like, I thought it was you.
Even my other Life with Deeps account gets some weird things.
Oh, like your public email?
The public email, like that's on our Instagrams, respective ones. It's just, I'm just like, what is this? There's some people out there that just want to sabotage.
But it really is a good like petty action if you want to take revenge on someone. I got the best piece of mail a few days ago, and it was from the settlement payout for the lawsuit, the Love is Blind lawsuit, that one of our cast members, Jeremy Hartwell, filed like several years ago now.
I know. I'm so excited about this because I saw one of our fellow season 2 alums posted about it, that he got money. And I was like, I need to look and see where that letter is.
I saw that too. Haseeb posted a TikTok like talking about this lawsuit settlement letter. If you guys don't know what we're talking about, so Jeremy Hartwell is one of the cast members of our season of Love is Blind, season 2, and he filed a class action lawsuit against Kinetic Content, which is the production company of Love is Blind, and Netflix, and they actually settled with him for $1.4 million.
Crazy.
So that was that's the settlement payout. And we get a portion of that. So I received a letter in the mail telling me this is how much I'm going to get.
Yeah.
And this is why. And I was like, wow, justice has been served.
I know. Honestly,
kind of.
You never think when you're in that position that you have any power. So I'm so proud of him to be like, no, this is unfair treatment. Like, I didn't even think about it. Like, obviously in the moment I'm like, okay, this sucks. These are long hours. Like, I'm tired. But yeah, you feel so powerless next to a company that's been doing this for years.
Totally.
And so I'm so proud of him to be like, no, this is not okay. And yeah, did something about it. Couldn't be me.
And the effort to like lead this lawsuit, I'm like, it couldn't have been me.
No. Like, yeah. And the fact that he did it as a class action and it wasn't like selfish on his part. Like, yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jeremy.
I know. Thank you, Jeremy.
Yeah. You're the best.
It's so crazy because I remember when this was all going on and Kinetic Content was trying to discredit Jeremy in the news. Like, they were saying how he, you know, was on the set for less than a week and they don't know the reason. It's kind of crazy because I remember thinking like, you know, are they going to settle with him? Like, I feel like Kinetic Content is going really hard and our like contracts are really ironclad. Mm-hmm. And there's so many multiple lawsuits against Kinetic Content just with things that have happened on set. And you just realize like they were not, like everything they were putting us through wasn't right.
No.
And I can't believe we were like, let's just sit back and, you know, accept it because they're a big company, you know, and they're partnering with Netflix for this show. So they must be, you know, like, I don't know, everything they're doing must be like legal.
Legal, yeah. Yeah. Especially because you get so scared because you've signed contracts and then they have you following certain rules and it creates this power imbalance and totally, you feel like you have no, you know, right to do anything or act your own way. I don't know. It was a really weird moment, but I can't believe he actually filed the class action lawsuit and they settled out of court. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, and thank you, Jeremy. If you guys don't know, Jeremy and I actually had a really strong connection in the pods. Like, he proposed to me early.
Yeah.
In the pods.
I wonder if
I'm proud of you, Jeremy.
I wonder if some of that like frustration on his end with that whole process is what actually really ignited this whole thing in general.
Him and I talked about it a little bit before the show came out, just about like what happened in our final date. So it was so weird and it was so manipulative on Kinetic Content's part. So the creator of the show, Chris, he spoke with me for a little bit before I entered my date with Jeremy. And he mm-hmm. goes, Jeremy's only here for TV. Like, he's going to try to propose to you. And like, it was kind of weird. And I actually ended up telling Jeremy this, but before one of my dates with Jeremy, him and I had a really close connection. I think Jeremy was my number two at one point on the ranking list. And Chris Colin, the creator of the show, stops me. And he's like, hey, I need to talk to you. Like, I'm just going to let you know that Jeremy's going to propose to you, but he's only here for TV and very disingenuous reasons. So I'm going into my date with Jeremy with mm-hmm. that mindset.
Yeah, of course.
And so when he's like trying to propose to me, I'm like, what is happening? Like, we barely know each other. Like, what are you trying to do? Like,
this is odd.
Just knowing that, well, because Chris told me at the time, like, you know, Jeremy's disingenuous. So I was like, okay, yeah, like this guy's just using me for screen time. Mm-hmm. And then I find out later that they told Jeremy something totally different. They were like, you and Natalie were meant to be, you guys are like the closest paper matches. Like, you need to propose to her. Yeah. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
So they like manipulated the situation. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like, I get why he had distress over that moment.
100%. They were lying to his face.
And but lying to me.
Exactly. They just wanted to get scenes of a certain possibility that could potentially be aired when the season was coming out.
They wanted me to end up with Shane 100%. Yes. I know that. I've heard it from some producers too. Yeah. And so they didn't want Jeremy and I to end up together, even though we had similar personalities mm-hmm. and like more in common, you know, things on paper, like in terms of like our jobs and what we wanted in partners. And so they like manipulated the scenario where I was like pretty harsh and mean to him. Mm-hmm. And he was so taken aback and, you know, and it was all manipulated. Not saying I'll go for Jeremy now or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to get at.
She's already tried, guys.
I guess
no,
what
I'm kidding.
Oh, no,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But I'm more so, the reason why I'm bringing all this up is it wasn't like what Kinetic Content is saying in the news, like where he was there for a week, less than a week, and like he didn't develop any connections. Like, we had a connection. Not that I feel a connection with him now, mm-hmm. but, you know, they really kind of took him through the ringer.
Yeah. And that's the thing about the power of PR, right? And having the ability to skew the public's perception of you and kind of mess yeah. with your reputation. It's actually the worst.
Yeah. And I was thinking about how, like, Kinetic Content was, like, responding to this lawsuit, being like, yeah, like, saying all these things about Jeremy and discrediting him. And I would see those same things repeated on comments on social media by just, like, general viewers being like, yeah, like, this guy's just, you know, trying to get more attention. And he was only there for a few days, like, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, that wasn't, like, necessarily true.
Yeah. Oh, that, like, gives me such the ick.
And yeah, it's just, it's like the power of Kinetic Content's PR.
Exactly. And anybody can have any opinion of you by just putting out an article that has, like, you know, just small little facts that are missing completely the entire context of things, you know? Yeah. I don't know. That just pisses me off. And it reminds me exactly of what's happening with Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively's lawsuit.
Oh, my God.
Holy hell, Natalie. Like, that is, it's been a roller coaster. I've been getting all my information from TikTok, as I do. But there's a lawyer. There's this California lawyer who's been reading every single page of this, like, crazy lawsuit and kind of summarizing it for us. And that's where I'm getting all my info.
Yeah, no, it's been crazy, like, what happened ever since we talked about it on our podcast a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So, guys, this is the latest update on the Blake Lively versus Justin Baldoni drama. So a few weeks ago, Blake filed a civil complaint against Justin, who was her It Ends With Us co-star and also the director of the movie. And in the complaint, which was the basis of this explosive New York Times article, she accused him and his PR team of creating the smear campaign against her. And it's crazy. Like, you saw it. There were, like, text messages between him and his PR people, you know, like, celebrating negative articles about her and, like, yeah. how the public thought negatively about her and, like, talking about, like, Reddit posts and TikToks.
And bots, buying yeah. bots. Like, there was a lot of things.
And I feel like for the public, it was the first time people realized the power of PR.
Mm-hmm. Looking at this lawsuit kind of proved, oh, it showed you exactly the power. Like, the fact that we as people read that and were like, oh, we played perfectly into what they were suggesting as a PR company. Like, yeah. that's insane.
Again, these are allegations, but if you look at the text messages that Blake Lively's team was able to get a hold of, again, mm-hmm. between Justin's PR people and between him and his PR people as well, it really looks like they were trying to ruin her reputation. And
yeah.
it really looked like there was some sort of joint effort to try to make her look bad and make him look good.
Yeah. And you can tell this case is not about money. It's literally about reputation and the public's perception of you.
Yeah. But there's so much more than that in the complaint, but I think that was, like, the big one. So yeah. she also claimed that Justin had, like, improvised unwanted kissing scenes, and Justin entered her makeup trailer uninvited when she was undressed, including when she was breastfeeding. She also alleges he sexualized her during references to her character's costumes. It gets even more messy, though, because he actually clapped back with a $250 million lawsuit against the New York Times.
Yeah.
So not against Blake, but against the New York Times for that explosive article they wrote yeah. about Blake Lively's complaint. And he has text messages mm-hmm. and they kind of refute what Blake is saying in her complaint.
Yeah.
So here's one text message. It's of Blake saying to him, "I'm just pumping in the trailer if you want to work out our lines," like inviting him
to come in.
Yeah, into the trailer when yes. she's breastfeeding. And he also showed a text message where Blake is describing a character as sexier when talking about, you know, the wardrobe for the movie. So he's essentially saying, like, she was advocating for her character to be sexier, and he was just sharing that tone.
Yeah. And also the fact that Justin had an intimacy coordinator, but she did not want to meet with them before yes. filming the scenes. So that kind of trumps that whole argument as well.
So after this lawsuit, she ended up filing a lawsuit against him for sexual harassment and retaliation. And his lawyer recently said he's going to file a lawsuit against her too. It's so messy.
No, and my head is spinning because it's all, it's almost like a he said, she said, like 100%. Who gives a shit, like, at this point? Because they are just fighting against media. You know what I mean? Like, totally. It's such a media battle.
It's really tough because the text message that that New York Times article shared with his PR people and him, but also the text messages that he shared from Blake, mm-hmm. like, it's, you could see both sides, right?
Yeah.
But, like, we have to remember, like, text messages are always taken out of context. Mm-hmm. I think it's just hard to be like, who's telling the truth? Because it's like, yeah, maybe Blake sent Justin a text being like, come into my trailer to do lines. I'm just pumping. But that doesn't give him permission to always go into her trailer.
Right.
When she is breastfeeding.
Yeah. And that's why people, I love people's like opinions about this, but how they really say two things can be true at the same time. And yeah. I think that like really solidifies what this lawsuit is. But I will have to say, I read through some of the text messages from Justin Baldoni and the two editors on the movie. And it was really sad to read some of that stuff because it just seems like Blake is a hard person to get along with. But again, this entire thing proves we don't know anything. We yes. need the full context to have an opinion.
I don't think that we'll ever get like the full truth no. of what happened, but it was a reminder to me that like fights, drama, whatever, it's so complicated. Like everyone has their own version of the truth.
Yep.
Everyone wants to defend themselves against allegations. And also, like, everyone is a villain in someone else's story. You know what yeah. I'm saying?
No, absolutely. And it's just like there's so many hurt feelings about this whole movie, which in my opinion, I hate it now because I'm like, the entire point of it was to highlight domestic violence and talk about that. And it now it's just tarnished by these two powerhouses trying to duke it out, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my goodness.
But here's my thing. If what Blake is saying is true, like, yeah, you should be able to talk about it and kind of get justice. Mm-hmm. But if it's not true, yeah, like Justin should be able to defend himself. But it's just like super, super just messy.
Yeah.
Like you just don't know.
Yeah. And at this point, I have a hard time believing anything anymore. And it's almost like, okay, whoever wins this whole lawsuit is going to be, okay, you had more money and you had a better PR team. Like that's where my head will go. You know, it's yeah. not, oh, are you innocent or are you not? Or,
yeah.
You know,
it's tough because I think that first there was a very negative perception of Blake Lively because she does come off unlikable in her interviews for the movie It Ends yes. With Us. Like she was super unlikable even in her past interviews. She just comes off like really out of touch and just like rude.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, there's these allegations where, mm-hmm. you know, like they could be true. And if they are, they're gross.
Yeah.
Like especially like the sexual harassment allegations, like they're gross. And also it is kind of weird that the cast from that movie, none of them follow Justin Baldoni. So it kind of makes it seem like he was the issue on set.
Yeah. And there was also, I think one of the cast members who plays Atlas in the movie actually like showed support for Blake Lively. But in my mind, I think about it and I'm like, oh, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds have a lot more power in the industry. So I feel like they are siding with Blake just for the opportunities in life or not to be blacklisted in, you know, with production companies or because yeah. they're young actors and actresses. So I think that's a big one. But I was in the same boat as you. I was so aligned with how much hate Blake Lively was getting because I was like, oh, this is justified. I absolutely hate the way she interacts with interviewers, things like that. And on the other hand, as soon as this lawsuit came out, I was like, whoa, I hate Justin now. Like, I hate both of them. So it's been a tough like seesaw, I'd say, yeah. you know?
Like, obviously, I don't know either of them. And it's just like celebrity pop culture news.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, let's just see how it plays out and like what is brought up. Mm-hmm. I don't think, though, we'll ever have a full picture. If anything, I always think in these situations, it's that saying like two things can be true at once.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like he could have absolutely done those things to her. And she could have still been like really hard to work with, maybe mm-hmm. exaggerate. Who knows? You know, like who knows? But again, I keep saying it. It always reminds me like you are a villain in someone's story.
And someone with a lot of money can twist any story they want to however they want.
No, that's true. That's true. That point too.
They can make you the villain even though you're not the villain.
I'm so glad I'm not a celebrity. I really do think like the more famous you are, the more money you have, life is just way more complicated. Yeah. I feel like life is so much easier when you don't have those big worries about your reputation, mm-hmm. like how you're spending big bucks. Like, keep life simple.
Yeah.
Actually, that is going to be my in of 2025. I'm going to keep life so simple.
Yes. I like, love that.
No impressing anyone. I'm just mm-hmm. going to live my life. I don't need to like really do anything. I'm good.
Keep it simple. I like that. I like this epiphany you just had. You actually on the spot.
I know. My gosh. I
like that. Keep it simple. And I want to find my life partner this year.
That's really the opposite of keeping it simple.
I don't know why my head went there, but I was thinking about how literally right here behind me, I ate 12. I ate 12 grapes under the table.
Oh my god! Also, I was like, "Who are you talking about?"
You know, I died. This TikToker said, she's like, "Girls, ladies, listen up. Do you think that your soulmate and your partner is sitting under a goddamn table eating 12 grapes waiting for you? Like, what are you doing with your life?" And I died.
Oh, I know. Okay, I had no idea what you're talking about the 12 grapes.
The 12 grapes.
But I saw on social media, it was trending. Like, if you eat 12 grapes under a table on New Year's Eve, you are like bound to find your life partner.
Something like that.
That year.
Or I think there's also another spin to it is you wish something for every grape, like the 12 wishes.
That's a lot of damn wishes.
I know.
We only get one on our birthdays.
You know what's crazy is I was literally eating the grapes underneath. I didn't even think about a life partner. I didn't think about any wishes. I just ate the damn grapes. So does that mean like, are they going to work?
I mean,
I was just so.
If you didn't wish for anything, nothing's gonna.
Who in their right mind is like, I wish for dinner, so I don't want to eat that. You have to eat it in a certain amount of time.
I'm sorry. Look at you being judgy about people who wish for on each grape. You literally were under a table eating grapes.
Okay, here's the thing, though.
I would have done it too.
I wanted to talk to you about that because my entire life, I've been the type of person that cannot follow like a trend or like, you know, when you're at a concert and I was like, raise your hand, like,
do it. You don't.
I cannot be that. I hate like community things like that. It just gives me the ick. I don't know why. Where they're like, everybody rock back and forth. I'm like, no, thank you.
You're like, I'm a nonconformist.
I hate, yes, that is me to a T. And I have been avoiding this trend forever. I'm like, no, like why am I eating grapes? And then for some reason this year, my friend wanted to do it. That's probably why.
Yeah.
And I was like, fine, I'll eat some grapes. Why not? It couldn't hurt.
It really couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
So you why know? Not?
Look, I don't know. I don't know if I believe
it. I love
it,
a little bit of witchcraft.
I don't know why that got me because, anyways.
No, really.
It was a little witchy because what is this doing?
I love doing like little witchy things, being like,
Yeah, like I like to write down certain things and then burn them to let go of things.
Oh, yeah.
And I Palo Santo'd my entire apartment. I feel very witchy when I do that.
There's some things where I was like, this goes against Christianity, but there's some witchy things that are like, it doesn't hurt anyone just to do.
Like burning sage.
Yeah.
Like I love burning sage.
I was like, I'm just going to do it. Why not?
I love that.
Like, it's not like I'm like sacrificing someone, but like eating grapes under a table, hoping you'll find the love of your life in the next year. Like, why not?
Why not? We'll just see.
Yeah. You know what? I'm feeling really good for you. I really do feel like you are going to meet the love of your life this year.
But no pressure.
And if it's not the love of your life, it's going to be someone who's better than the last partner you had. Yes. You know?
Wait, I heard this thing the other day and it is, while you're searching for the right person, have fun with the wrong ones. And I loved it.
Have you ever had fun with the wrong ones?
No, but like,
if anything, they left me with like immense stress and like mental health issues. I don't believe in that saying. That should be definitely an archived saying.
It's what you take from it, okay? I don't know. I thought it was a really good quote, but you're making me second guess my whole life. Also, you're right. Like, the next person that I date, I want to be Mr. Right.
Well, what Giannina from season one told me one time is she goes, as long as your current partner is better than your previous partners, like you could only go up, you know?
That's true. I do love that.
Even if that your current partner isn't the one, like the one you want to spend the rest of your life with, as long as he's better than the previous partner, like you're good.
See, and that's how mine also plays so perfectly into that, because the next one's always going to be better. So only better memories are going to leave you with less hurt.
Even though the bar is on the floor, like you can only go up.
And, look, and on that note.
Well, we'll see you next Wednesday.
Yeah. Bye.